Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Chris, who is here to speak with us about his experience of participating in the recent Communication in Stressful Times class. Welcome, Chris.
Hi, Jen. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for being with us. I know you're with me and really appreciating the focus on communication and just seeing how much suffering can get caused in that content and how supportive it was to have an email class to come together right as the book has come out as well.
Yes, and it was one of those...
Thanks for being able to talk about that.
Of course.
Yeah, sorry, and it was one of those.
Uh-huh. Well, it was one of those situations where really life orchestrated. It couldn't have been more perfect how it unfolded, because that very month that that we were doing the email class, I also had my 6-month review in my new job, which was maybe a field day for ego.
Yes, exactly. Oh gosh, that is just one of those places where without practice, that is just fodder for the voices. And with practice, boy, is there a lot of transformation potentially on the table, huh?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, tell us about your experience of the class and sounds like using it in a very particular way.
Well, so it was exactly like you just said, where I can remember before practice where these kinds of situations would come up. So there's a review or there's some kind of quote-unquote difficult conversation to be had, and the only option given to me by ego is to dread it, and then do it, and then it's over. Oof, thank God that's over, and then nothing comes of it. Like that was my experience before practice.
Yes. So it sounds like in this case you had three bad choices. You could dread it. Those were your three choices.
And what was so fun with the email class, and truly, I mean, the word fun is an intentionally chosen word here, because it really was fun when I was able to switch back or remember or be, again, graced with that kind of clarity of how perfect is this that I have a review coming up. What an amazing opportunity to practice seeing what happens with communication and this human being.
Wow. I mean, that in itself, Chris, is a place we can be so grateful for practice, isn't it? To have something where habitually there would be so much suffering around it, and to actually have that experience of, wow, this is perfect. I'm so grateful that these two things are coinciding. That in itself is a miracle.
And it's exactly. And that is the kind of, I mean, there are so many gifts of practice and the attitude of mind that we are able to access and remember with practice. But that is one that always makes my jaw drop when it's, I'm no longer approaching life with my heels dug in, but rather I'm welcoming these experiences so that I can see. I just want to see, like, that place is so, it is, there's no words for it.
Yeah. I just want to see, you know, because it reminds me of how we talk about, you know, suffering ends when we suffered enough, we really start to get down to practice, because what we see is, I know there's no getting away from this, right? Maybe, as you say, you know, maybe I'll kind of get through this one, but nothing comes out of it, in the sense of we know that we're just beholden to the next one. Right? We just live in fear of, like, oh God, that's going to happen again. And then when it comes around, sure enough, I have to get dragged through the suffering, and then, woof, thank God that's over. But it sounds like, especially with the support of the class, you found another way.
Yes. And it was, I mean, so the best kind of image that I could, that came to me with this, particularly with just the framework of the Enneagram, it was a little bit like The difference between walking through a landscape and trying to get a sense of it versus having a bird's eye view. Having a bird's eye view of the landscape is so much more helpful for getting a sense of it.
Absolutely. That is so well put. I mean, it's the forest and the trees kind of thing, isn't it? So if you're inside of it, down on sort of ground level, if you will, that's a whole different perspective than being able to pull back up and see the whole scene at one time.
Exactly. And that's always the kind of place that I was able to get to with the support of this class, was remembering the perspective of the bird's eye view of, okay, yeah, this is the kind of signature of this Enneagram type. So when I have a interaction and the response is blah, 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 okay, yep, that fits. I mean, that makes sense with this. There's a lot of shock here.
Yeah, exactly. So in other words, having that, okay, so, you know, what shows up through Chris is this certain Enneatype, and then having the assignments that we're pointing at, okay, well, these are the ways that this Enneatype is going to tend to react in communication around such and such, and then realizing, wow, that, sure enough, there it is, really allowed you to have that broader perspective you're talking about and not take it personally.
Exactly, and it allowed also just, I mean, this is, I guess, also the gift of when we do these kind of focuses that you, I mean, it amazes me every time. How was I thought I was paying attention. Wow, I mean, I had no idea. There was a whole arena here happening right under my nose. And just the gift of that, of getting to see all of that, that I just want to see. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Are any particular, as you're talking, Chris, I'm going to that place of excitement for myself. Are there any particular examples that are jumping out for you as kind of things that you saw?
Yes. So one very particular, or kind of the key insight that I had and the way that it came to me was through the simple sentence, the insight dropped in, that ego finds every interaction stressful. We have to broaden the definition of stress, but ego is stress, and ego finds every interaction stressful. It's always angling to be a certain way and to be seen a certain way, and that is always stressful.
So there's two huge things in that, right? Ego is stress. To get it that if my attention is split all the time, which essentially is what's happening any time I'm in conversation with conditioned mind, my attention is split. And that in itself is incredibly stressful. To be attempting to be present, you know, especially as students of awareness, you know, that's what we know we want in our lives. And we have that complete sincerity to be, okay, yeah, I really want to be present here in my life. So meanwhile, the voice in my head goes crazy trying to split my attention off, and to realize there, that's a good definition of stress right there, is to have the attention split in that way. So to see that is huge by itself. And then that to realize that for ego, every interaction is stressful. So to me, it is what you point at is almost like, well, then I can just let go and not worry about trying to not make it stressful, right? Because ego is always going to be stressed. And to get it that that's not me. It's not my experience.
Yes, and you know, just the bottom line place that I just love when I remember is it's that place of what do I love most about this? Or and with communication, I just started practicing rather than getting lost in a conversation about how I've somehow messed up some interaction or fallen short or said the wrong thing, to just drop it, as you say, and focus on what do I appreciate most about this person? And it could be me, it could be the conversation partner, just to have that instead, to choose that.
You know, that's so huge, Chris, because what I hear in that is essentially you've redirected the attention. You know? Mm-hmm. So ego wants to have the attention on whatever ego wants to have the attention on, which, as Sherry endlessly points out, it doesn't actually want to have the attention on anything. Well, other than it, I should say.
Right.
But in terms of it'll use any content in our lives, anything that, you know, especially going back to the Enneatype. Well, let's see, he's a such and such number, so let's use that. You know, we'll use something in that arena. You know, if he's a one, we'll use perfection, right? If he's a six, we'll use fear. If he's a whatever. Mm-hmm. So they'll throw whatever they throw out. But then when you get to make that conscious choice of, nope, I'm going to focus on this, that begins to take away that split attention, stressful experience I think you were pointing at a minute ago.
Yes, and what drops in when you say that is just it that's freedom. I mean, that's what I choose.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Yeah, that's what was dropping in for me, too. That's freedom. Because it's what I think Sherry and Ashwini were talking about in the show this morning. I forget exactly how they put it, but essentially the voices being there doesn't detract from the possibility of well-being in this moment.
Yes.
And I feel like what you're talking about, learning that skill of being able to, yes, the voices are doing what they're doing and they're going to keep trying what they've tried and, you know, they know how to push all my buttons and all of that. But if I'm practicing that larger plating of, okay, this is perfect, this gives me something to practice with because I want to wake up, then there's a way in which that is freedom, because whatever the voices are doing, that's okay. I don't have to be in relationship with that in any way, including stopping it or making it not happen. But my attention can be on practice, on being aware.
And that just seems like true relationship with life, with the moment, with what's actually real and true.
Yeah. It opens us up to actual communication. Well, Chris, I see we're at the top of the hour. Was there anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
No, that was the perfect note, I think, that we just hit. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it is wonderful. And thank you so much for being with us this afternoon to share your experience.
Of course, and thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. Take good care. Thanks, Chris.
Take care. Gesho.
Bye-bye. Gesho. And this is where we would normally turn the show over to Michael, but today I have the great good fortune of getting to host in his place. So assuming I can navigate here, hang on one sec, our screen just jumped.
You did it.
I will say good afternoon and welcome to Open Air. And good afternoon, Sherry.
You did it. Well done.
It's kind of a level switching from Good News Update to finding Sherry in the queue. So.
See there? See yeah. there?
So,
you know, we don't know everything Michael does. And it's that is often the case, isn't it? Well, we didn't know what he was doing was so complicated until we tried to do it, which, you know,
really
happens to us a lot with a lot of things, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, just from Chris and the whole Sangha, thank you for that extraordinary email class. That was so, I love how Chris said it, fun. That's what it was. It was so much fun.
Well, it was fun for me. So that's good. I love to hear that. Yeah. You know, if you're doing something that you love, that's one thing. But if you're doing something that you love and other people are enjoying it too, that's just really over the top, all the better.
Exactly. Yeah.
Did I say that right? You hesitated
all right, well,
a
we
long
do have
time
Anna.
There. Oh, uh-huh.
Well, you know what, Sherry? I think actually it's funny because I was on the phone with Ashwini earlier this afternoon. We were doing some scheduling things, and I think maybe based on that experience and then what just happened with Chris and this, I think my phone might have a delay right now because I'm noticing that I'm talking over people consistently. So we'll see.
And it's not just that you're really excited.
So, because when I say something, there's this long pause afterwards.
Well, no, when I say something, there's a long pause before. So it sounds like we're talking back and forth, like the old days, talking to Zambia, right? And then there's this, you know, three or four second delay where you're looking very expectant and there's nothing happening. Yeah, that's interesting. I've never heard of that on a local basis.
Me neither. I don't know what it is, but it was exactly, I said that to Ashwini. I said, it's as if I'm talking to you from Zambia. It's international call. It's very strange. But anyway, we'll let the callers talk. How about that?
yeah, good.
But I do have some announcements first.
Okay, good.
So, starting with Reflective Listening Buddies offers weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present, and a new quarter begins January 15th. Celebrate 2019. Celebrate 2019 and welcome 2020 with a community of folks dedicated to practicing conscious, compassionate awareness at our New Year's retreat. The dates of that are December 27th through January 1st in the San Francisco Bay Area. And the retreat will look at bypassing ego identification to practice authentic communication and include group discussions, guidance with Sherry, and free time to spend in nature on beautiful, spacious grounds.
Wow. And Jen, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
If anybody is thinking of doing this, I actually thought the retreat was already full and being closed. But Ashwini says there are two spots left in it. So if anybody is hanging around thinking, well, I don't know, that decision might be made if you don't act pretty quickly.
Yeah, I could go on and on, but I cannot wait. Yeah, so excited.
Oh, I know. I'm so excited. I know.
And then,
best party of the year.
Speaking of the new year, the 2020 schedule is now posted, which is huge, just such a huge, I mean, gush out to the whole team who's working back there to make that happen, because I know there's a lot that goes into that. And to see what those opportunities are, you can visit livingcompassion.org, and the schedule's up. Very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's 2020, Jen.
All right. So I know. It's incredible. Yeah, incredible. Yep.
It's so exciting.
Yep. So exciting in
so
many ways.
It's funny. It's that place where, on the one hand, it seems like it just started being 2019. And then when I think about the last New Year's retreat, it seems like it was about 5 years ago. So how can time pass by so quickly and yet take so long and be so spacious? I don't know.
Me too. And I was recently looking at, I truly remember, like it wasn't that long ago, being at the 1999-2000 retreat. So, there we go. Now I'm dating myself. Right?
That really was a long time ago.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So here we go. Here is our first caller. You're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi. I'm calling because I just felt like I needed the support, so that's why I'm calling.
Good. You know, that's why we do everything in practice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Because we need the support.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's great to have it because yeah, I just have had some content in the past week and a half, and it seems like contacts from several different avenues that have really caused me to be identified, and I've been struggling with it.
Mm-hmm. And so it's similar content?
No, it's actually different content. So one content involves trying to get accreditation and it's dealing with a bureaucracy that has extremely unreasonable expectations. So that's one. Mm-hmm. And then another content involves Ziggy, an incident that he was involved in. So it's different content. It's just hard content that I've been having to deal with that's been really frustrating me.
And so it feels like you're kind of in the sights, right? Or you've got a bullseye on you. And in every area of your life, or at least in enough of them, there's something happening that's not going the way you would like for it to go or wish it would go.
Exactly. Yeah. It seems like in almost every area of my life, there's something that's triggering conditioning. And I don't know, I was just feeling really, really upset and really depressed, and all these conditioning patterns were triggered today. And not just today, but for the past week, like all this karma has come up again, like familiar, unwanted karma. And, you know, I've been listening to radio shows as much as I can, or, you know, to the retreat, or, you know, just trying to, and it's just still getting me. So I just thought, well, maybe I'll reach out and call the radio show tonight. So.
Yeah. Well, good choice. And Andrea, I'm gonna say a very unlikely thing, but hopefully by the time our conversation is over, you'll see my perspective. I think actually this is very good news, and I'll tell you why. Because the last time we spoke, you were seeing things with a clarity that you had not seen them before. Okay? You were, and we were talking, I think, the primary content was the coworker, right? The woman at work with whom you have the issue, right? Yes. And you were being able to see that was just her, right? And that what was happening with you is that you were looking to conditioned mind and watching conditioned mind frame all of that as if it had something to do with you.
Right.
And where you were getting to with it is whatever was going on with her was her, and the whole thing was your best opportunity to be with you.
Right.
You remember that?
Oh, I certainly do. I certainly do. In fact, you refer to her as a bodhisattva.
That's exactly right. Okay. Now, the reason that I can say this is good news, so as you're talking to me about what's going on with you, I'm recalling that conversation. And what I have noticed over time is that when we see something as big as what you saw in that situation,
mm-hmm.
it's as if there is an egocentric, karmic conditioning, self-hating pile-on, such that it will seem like things are coming in from every direction to confirm the karmic story. So, for instance,
mm-hmm.
you're involved in this thing with bureaucracy.
Right.
Okay. Now, nobody in their right mind, and I consider you to be a person in your right mind, could ever take bureaucracy personally. Bureaucracy is egocentricity on steroids, right? It is it is unconsciousness systematized.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. And so, I mean, you have a bunch of, I'm sure, you know, perfectly fine people who are probably incredibly frustrated in their circumstances, but they're following rules that usually make no sense to anybody. Nobody actually knows how they got put together, okay?
Right.
But you got to follow it, right? You got to do it because that's the way it is. And I'm telling you, if you think it's something in this country, Jen is over there nodding, thinking of what it's like in a place like Zambia, okay, where truly nobody has any idea what's going on. They just get put in a place and told, you do this no matter what. Right?
So,
and then
so,
you're...
So it's funny because the woman I talked to, she did just what how you described it. She was very nice to me, and the situation is I want to get certification to be able to get a license to do my genetics. And basically, they're telling me I didn't take enough classes in graduate school, and I have to go back to graduate school that I did 22 years ago and take more classes.
Yeah, there you go, there you
yeah.
go, and. And she can see how absurd that is, right?
Yes.
But those are the rules, right? And so if you were not, if you didn't have this bullseye on you, right, you could be quite philosophical about it. Well, it's ridiculous. It's absurd. That's how it is. I either want to do it or I don't want to do it. But being upset about it is just silly because – it's not your fault. It's not her fault. It's not anybody's fault. It's just the way it is. And then you get to be in a position to say, yeah, I want to go along with that silliness because I want this that much. Or, you know, it's really not worth it to me. Or whatever you come to. But you wouldn't be depressed over it because you wouldn't be taking it personally.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay. Now let's move to Ziggy. He's a teenager.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. So I don't know if you've ever known any teenagers or if you were ever a teenager, but having stuff happen when you've got a teenager is just the name of the game.
Yes. And I'll just go. He basically did a really dumb practical joke and was banned from doing an activity. And there was a meeting tonight, which Johan attended, I didn't attend, and so it was. He was very upset and wouldn't talk about it for 2 days, and so, yeah, it's...
Ziggy or Johan?
That's what happened.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, yes, and so there you are. You know, is he driving yet? Is Ziggy driving?
Thank God, no. He's still 13, so...
Oh, really? Oh, I had him a couple of years older. Okay, well, then just brace yourself for that. And then there's dating... And then there's, you know, I mean, it's going to be ugly before it gets better, okay? Now, once again, if you didn't have that bullseye on you, you would not be taking this personally. You would be able to see in that same way, wow, okay, there's all that karmic conditioning coming at her. She really needs a good friend. Okay, none of this is personal. It's not her fault. There's really nothing that she can do about it. And so let's just wrap her up in kindness and compassion and understanding and help her realize that this too shall pass and one day the sun will come out and she will feel better and things will look up again.
Mm.
But because you're in that place of clarity, then that system is going to just frame everything as quickly as possible into something that you're going to get upset and take personally and get depressed about so that the system can say, see, nothing works. Nothing works for you. Never works out. Just doesn't.
So do you think it's like going further, faring worse or something like that?
I think that's exactly what it is.
And like an ego backlash?
That's exactly right. And with these kinds of things, this, again, now I don't have any proof of this, but just watching it for a few decades, these kinds of things come up. And the opportunity we have is, how are you going to be with this? How are you going to be with this? Are you going to bail on her and go back to identifying with conditioning and living in that story? Or are you going to say, yeah, okay, well, stuff happens in life, and I'm with you, sister. I'm on your side. We'll get through this. It's fine. Let's listen to some recordings about some of the things that we love most, or let's make a recording. Let's talk about the things that we enjoy most about life and our favorite stuff, and how great a kid we have, even though he did this thing that we wish hadn't happened. And how much I love what I do for a living, even though it's surrounded with all of these rules and regulations that are absurd.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's funny that you mentioned that, because that's where ego has really been getting me, you know, like with what I do for a living, too. You know, it's just like all the old karma coming back. Man,
yep.
It's really getting,
yep.
You know what, it's like the practice, you know what we were talking about, like ego takes what you love most and then twists
that's
it
right.
and turns it into what
that's
you
right.
hate most. That's what it does.
That's right. That's what it does. That's what it does. Because that's what you care about, so that's what it can use against you. That's how it can cause you to suffer.
Yeah.
You're not going to suffer over stuff you don't care about.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because basically it's taking that and it's basically, you know, I just did it because I was interested in it. And then it takes all these standards and it turns it into something I hate and I can't even bear to do.
Yeah. And what you're saying is the critical element. It
yeah.
turns it into that.
Yeah.
It creates that story. It makes that case. It talks to you and gets you to believe that what it's saying to you is your experience, that it's true. And it's not.
Well, yeah, this is really helpful.
Good. So the prescription, right, is
yeah.
get attention off of any of those stories and get attention on what is true for you. There's much that you love about your family, about your work, about your life, about everything.
You know
and
what's
get
so funny is you
that.
Mentioned that, and I realized I hadn't done the assignment today, and I basically listened to my What is True About Me tape from a month ago, right before I called.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. Life is going to help you out. Just stick with it.
Thank you, Sherry, so much. I'm so grateful.
You are so welcome anytime. Take care of yourself, okay? Okay,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. And Sherry, I really appreciate that, you know, talking about how when we come out of a time of that much clarity, it's so mm-hmm. helpful to know that the voices are going to come at us. Because much like Chris was saying on the Good News Update, you know, where he was talking about, gosh, it's just helpful to see, okay, yeah, you're this type of, you're this enneotype. It's very likely that conditioning is going to come at you in this way. Same thing, to have the information
yes.
that after that clarity, the voices are going to come at us. It just really ups our chances of being able to, you know, keep practicing through those hard storms that they're going to try to kick up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and it's good to have this conversation so close to the New Year's retreat, right? Because that's one of the things we try to always mention to people on retreat is, you know, we're having a really good time now. Don't think that ego has forgotten about us, right? It may be taking a back seat right now, but it's not giving up on us. So there's going to be some backlash.
Truly, truly. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we've got another caller here. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry, this is Kate in Philadelphia.
Hello, Kate.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. That last conversation was just really helpful to me, and I'm in a place where I've been practicing more than I've ever practiced before, and I'm watching how that new space that practice is creating is just, I mean, that's like candy for ego. Ego really wants to fill that space. And
yeah.
and I'm just watching yeah. that and trying to just leave the space and experience it. But anyway, so something that just keeps coming up is this really old trap, probably one of the oldest traps for me, which is around, you know, anytime I encounter animals in pain or, you know, any story of animals suffering because of limited environments, and just it's a really hard area for me to practice around. And I ego so quickly ties a conversation to any sadness that comes up around that, ties a conversation or tells me that you know, my life isn't valuable because of what's happening to animals.
Wow, Kate, say a little more about that.
How
does that go together? Or does it not go together except emotionally?
Ego says mm-hmm. that animals are suffering because there isn't enough space for them on Earth because of humans taking up too much space. And so
which we do.
Really,
we can't argue with that. Yeah.
And there's my problem.
Uh-huh.
You know? I really see that adding my suffering to the world doesn't help anything and prevents me from helping, in fact. But
yeah.
It's so sticky. It really...
Well, and it is what we were just talking about with
yeah.
Andrea, right? So there's something that you really care about.
Yeah.
And so exactly. That's what ego can make you suffer over.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Kate, I don't know if this resonates for you, but one of the things that that the Buddha taught and that is very much a part of all Eastern philosophy, really, is that human beings are the only ones, the only species, the only thing that has the ability to experience ourselves as separate from life.
Yes, that's certainly okay. Definitely resonates with me. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing else does. And
yeah.
And we can see that, right?
Yeah.
So when we're around animals, we can see they don't worry about the future. You know, they're not holding on to the past. They're just right there, which is why we love them so much, because they're so present.
Yeah.
Right? And because they're so present, because they're not holding on to anything else, they're not a self that is suffering over some story in their head, then they are just love for the most part. Now, it doesn't mean they can't be made to be afraid and you know, they have certain abilities to protect themselves and that sort of thing. It's not
right.
Okay. So when that kind of innocent, sweet openness tends to be with domesticated animals and especially baby anythings, right?
Right.
Babies of the most, you know, a baby lion is adorable and sweet and won't hurt you, right? So so we can have that sense that they actually are not suffering the way we are.
Right. I project that they don't have ego.
That's right. And so they don't have a life expectancy.
Yeah.
And they don't have beliefs about how life should be and sort of what they're owed and what's right and what's fair, and that they don't have any of that. So they are just here for as long as they're here, having whatever experience they're having, and then they're not. Unlike us, who we're almost never here, almost always in a story, almost
right.
never really having our life, right? And then yeah. we're gone, and who knows what happens after that. And so just, for me, I take great comfort in that, actually.
I do.
That,
feels like they're just disappearing.
Yes. Oh, well, they are.
I know.
They are. However, my teacher used to say this thing that the first time I heard him say it, I was shocked. And now it's been said, this kind of thing has been said enough that it's really not shocking, but it's still worth considering. You know, people would be so upset about what's happening to human beings and pollution and the planet And he said, you know, if human beings destroy themselves, they will have destroyed the only thing that cares.
Yeah.
So nothing else is hanging on this, right?
Right.
So
and then
yeah,
I have
so,
to pull myself back around to loving humanity again. You know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which I do well, that circle. You know, I have had that circle. You know, I thought the same things you just said, and I think, I don't know, that's just where ego comes back in, and I just, in dark times, I just feel like,
I don't
want to be a part of this, you know?
Yes. Well, and of course, now you know that is simply what ego does to cause you to suffer, because that's how it will get attention.
Right.
So it's not really trying to solve anything, or it's not the world is going to be in better shape if Kate isn't here.
Yeah.
And I go back to, I don't know, if who knows? I don't know what the Buddha really said, but supposedly, you know, Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's another thing I take great comfort in, you know, that there's that clarity that we are ignorant. We don't know what we're doing. And it's not even that we're hateful. It's that we're ignorant and deluded. And so to be attempting to wake up out of that does seem like the very best contribution we can make. And to be as loving as we can be, right?
Yeah.
So you pet every dog you get a chance to pet, and you smile at every human, and you thank every tree, and because it is a rough plane of existence, and I don't know if anybody has ever come up with a really good explanation for it, we were just doing an event on Sunday night in Seattle, and I was telling people that my little theory about we are actually a penal colony from a far-off galaxy, and that the opportunity that we have in this plane of existence is to choose unconditional love.
Yeah.
That's what's possible for us here.
Yeah.
And, not that it's easy.
Yeah.
Or popular. Or it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Except to each one of us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, there, yeah. Mm-hmm. I see that.
Mm-hmm. And so, in a way, we were talking about with Andrea, her coworker as a bodhisattva, and we can certainly see every animal, everything in nature as a bodhisattva energy. You know, just something that touches us so deeply that it makes us want to choose loving kindness, makes us want to be compassionate, makes us want to love.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a really helpful way to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that old thing of breaking our hearts open.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, something just on a daily basis that triggers this conversation for me is just seeing an animal dead on the road on my commute, which I almost daily see. And and I really have been trying to practice around, you know, letting that moment of sadness be and not thinking there's anything wrong to that moment of sadness. But it does break it all open.
Yeah. Well, and I will tell you, Kate, I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but early on, before I started practicing, and then, I talked about this with my teacher, I would become so incapacitated that I would have to pull over by the side of the road because I literally couldn't drive. I would just be so wrecked. And
my husband now knows what's going on when it happens, and he's in the car too. But
yeah. And so I asked my teacher about it. And again, you know, he's one of those people that, along with the Buddha and Jesus, that I have no idea. I don't know if, you know, if he really knew what he was talking about, but it seemed so to me that I accepted it. He said, you know, and it was coming from that same place of they're not clinging like we do. You know, they're not attached to a certain form. He said, you know, that animal is probably gone before the pain would even register. You know, they're just, the energy is out of that form and off to another form. And so I just, you know, I just, now I can actually drive by them and just thank them and love them and wish them well wherever they are. You know, if it's a dog, I picture, you know, a little puppy somewhere is getting ready to be born.
Yes.
And there's the energy of that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Once I saw a squirrel hit and I thought, I've had this thought of what's going to happen to all of its nuts that it buried? And I had this realization of how in that moment a whole world had vanished, that squirrel's whole world, and yet the whole world was still here.
Which is a really important thing for us, isn't it, spiritually?
And to
be that ready to let go in any moment of this whole world that we have constructed or that has been constructed for us.
To be ready to let go and feel full of the beauty at the same time. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Thank you so much, Kate.
Thank you. Gasho.
Gasho. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Kate. That was a beautiful conversation, Sherry.
Were you thinking about Pache and some of our little squirrel friends and kitty cats and
absolutely.
And our Sadie making it around on her ancient pins and
truly inspiring, all of it. So, Sherry, we're going to hear from our recording and listening program briefly, and then we'll be back, assuming all goes well.
Good.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, thank you.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. Recording and listening is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation and conditioned mind, we can live in what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities, and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back. And Sherry, an addendum to that recording and listening, when Chris was saying at the end of that ad that we have to check the website for quarterly classes, we do in fact have a quarterly class live that's starting in January, and it happens to be one of the practice offerings in support of this year's Bridgewalk.
Aha.
So that's a perfect time to do that training.
Yep.
All the proceeds from that class will go to the project. And in fact, speaking of, we talked about the 2020 schedule at the beginning of the show, that there's a reference to the practice-a-thon in January in support of the Bridge Walk on the 2020 schedule, and the actual offerings, the particular signing up for the various things and the descriptions and all that will be up by the end of the week. So essentially what it is throughout the month of January, we have all kinds of facilitators stepping up to offer a number of different kinds of practices that are all in support. All of the proceeds will go straight to the Bridge Walk to support another year of transformation in Cantalumba. So that's really fun.
It is really fun. It's very fun and exciting. So I mentioned that Ashwini and I were both in Seattle at a little event on Sunday night. And at the end of it, I was practically yelling at people. my encouragement for them to get a recording and listening practice. Get that skill and practice it. If you want to end suffering, if you want your life transformed, that is the way to do it. So I'm hoping that some of those folks will, those browbeaten folks will be looking for that that training too. And it's wonderful that it's going to support the folks in Zambia.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a huge win-win. Yep. All right. Well, let's take our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Jen. It's Barbara here in Australia.
Hello, Barbara.
Hi.
What's going on?
Oh, it was really great to hear that last call. We have been having some pretty intense fires and weather and drought and stuff over here. So, I was just calling in for some support around that, actually.
Well, God knows we sympathize.
Yeah, I mean, I've thought about California a lot. I think, some of your firefighters have come down here to help out.
Wow, that brings tears to my eyes.
Yeah, I know. Canadian firefighters and firefighters from Alaska are all giving up their Christmases with their families to come and help. It's amazing they're doing.
It is heartbreaking to think about the all of the destruction. And usually, of course, when we think of forest fires, right? But who lives in the forest?
I know.
Yeah, the devastation to the animal and bird population is.
And the suffering. It's not a quick death necessarily.
Oh, exactly.
It's like a torture.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like hell.
Yeah,
like
so I just, what I've noticed, is like there's an enormous amount of grief. There's, fear, like the air yesterday in Sydney was just, I think, 11 times the hazardous level. The fires are just, they're enormous. They're bigger than the size of London. This combination of like grief and then anger and then powerlessness. And I've noticed, being pulled into there's a lot of anger because this was a presentable thing over time, obviously, to some extent. And but I've noticed, it's so easy to get pulled into those kind of conversations of blame and anger.
There's all that emotion.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's just tremendous emotional energy. And it's either sob, right, or be depressed, and so at least anger feels like there's some energy movement and some power to it. So it's, really understandable that that's one of the places that we go.
Yeah. And also the fear, you know, the projecting, you know, into the future.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, okay, this is now. Like, so there's that.
Yeah.
And that goes just straight to fear. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just noticed, you know, getting, I noticed yesterday I had a conversation with my sister and, you know, we just ended up just being all about the terrible things, you know. And mm-hmm. it's not useful. Like I just, you know, at some point I was able to see that that's what was happening, and I read something out that I'd read the other day that was incredibly helpful and hopeful and, you know, encouraging us not to choose despair, you know, not to mm-hmm. entertain. It said something beautiful like, you know, it happens. I feel the despair, but I don't let it sit at my table. Which, yeah, mm-hmm. I just thought was really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Because it does just suck that energy out of us.
Yeah.
Right? And and the energy that's being sucked out of us is the energy that we need to go on, to go on and to offer whatever it is that we can offer. In terms of support.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's so clear, like the only people suffering in that conversation are me and my sister, you know.
Yes,
because
exactly.
Because we're just, adding fuel to that sort of fire of
mm-hmm.
sort of outrage.
And the only, we can see that the only beneficiary is ego.
Yeah.
Right? Because ego is just lapping up that energy, and you don't have it and she doesn't have it, and then you know you feel despairing and defeated and depressed and but ego doesn't. Ego's, you know, fat and happy. You know, the other thing, I know you have some physical issues that make life painful. Is that fair to say without going too far?
Yeah, that's fair to say.
Yeah. And all of my life, I said this to somebody just the other day. I said, you know, I have a perfect body. It has been an absolute perfect body. I've never been really injured. I don't experience pain. Nothing ever hurts. I'm just really fortunate. And on occasion, I've had something like a headache, you know, or at one point I injured my back, right? Which sounds contradictory, but I mean, these are very isolated, little, small, you know, I was the only one hysterical about it at the time, right? There was no big danger anywhere. And when that has happened, the place that I go is, wow. There are people who live like this all the time. Right? There are people who are in pain every single day of their lives. And it where it takes me is well, first of all, not to be casual about not being in pain every day of my life, but also to such respect, to actual admiration of the people who go through the things that people go through and experience, I think about somebody who's, I was just reading about a guy whose entire family was killed in a war situation. He was the only one left. His wife and his three children were all died in just 1 minute. And I think, how do people do that? How do they survive? How do, in this country, in our very rich country, I think I just read something like 37 million people are hungry every day. Every day.
Hmm.
Now, around the world, I wish I knew what the statistics are, because it's horrifying, right? And so people are living in these circumstances all the time that I don't have to think about, right? Because they're just not my circumstances. And I can forget how good it is, like, you know, something that we can both relate to, when you can breathe the air and not worry that the very air you're breathing is killing you, right? And maybe you're one of the lucky ones who can have a mask to put on. And then to think of the people who can't afford a mask to put on, and they just have to breathe that air.
Yeah, I mean, I, these last few weeks I've thought, wow, this is what Beijing looks like all the time. Yeah, they've been living in this for years, and I've just taken fresh air for granted, you know. But I've also felt, Sherry, it's like my own journey with my own microcosmic world has prepared me for the journey that's starting to happen with the macrocosmic world, you know. It's like, it's the same. It's like being present with what's happening, not projecting into the future or comparing to some rosy past.
And having the skills that awareness practice gives us, that whatever the circumstances are, we don't have to go with ego to its negative stories. Yes, it's true. I mean, it's horrifying. It's really sad. It's incredibly upsetting. But that's not where ego wants us to go, right? Ego doesn't want us to go to that kind of heart-open, heartbroken compassion that makes us just want to love everyone and everything that we encounter. That's not where ego wants us to go. Ego wants us to go with what's wrong and how it shouldn't be this way. And as you say, whose fault is it? And why is this happening? And that's where ego wants us to go. And we have the ability to come back and say, yeah, it's really hard to be alive, right? As a human being, to be sensitive to everything that's going on, it's really hard. And yet, we have the ability to direct our attention toward compassion, toward loving kindness, toward what is good in the midst of all of it. You know, when you said firefighters are coming from all over the world, right, to help, giving up their not only their holidays with their families, but risking their very lives to help other people. You know, I mean, that's what we can, that's what we can attend to.
Well, thank you. I needed, you know, I feel sort of surrounded by, to some extent, by people that aren't doing that. And really needed to connect in with that other, you know, focus.
Yeah, because I project being surrounded by people who don't have that perspective, you know, it can sound, if you try to express any of this, like you're just not paying attention, or you just don't care, or, you know, there's something really wrong with you that you don't get how awful this is. But you do get how awful it is. It's just that you also get that being in a negative, hateful place in our head is not the contribution that we want to make to very, very difficult circumstances. So, stick with us.
Okay. Thanks so much, Sherry. It's great
all right.
to get through.
Thanks, Barbara. Yeah.
Thanks,
Take
Jen.
Good care.
I will. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. And Sherry, that's such a theme tonight. I mean, always, but that ability to reach out when we need practice, you know, it's just, that's it.
The theme of what it's like to be a caring person. You know, I started to say soft-hearted, and I'm not open-hearted. Maybe is more like it, but to be I don't know if it's courageous enough because I don't even know if we have a choice about it, but just to be a caring human being is really, really difficult. I mean, there's a lot of suffering in being an uncaring human being. It's true. But having the heart open like that and feeling all of it, not just for oneself, but feeling it for the creatures, for the trees, for the everybody who's trying to breathe air that is unbreathable, and just to be filled with sympathy for all of that. So
truly, yeah.
It's very difficult, and we wouldn't change it.
Absolutely.
Right? We wouldn't
Absolutely.
Have a hard heart. Yeah.
Because just briefly, I think this is absolutely what brought me to practice is to realize that the alternative, I project that's what's out there in the world. That's why we have the world we have, because of that. There are so many ways for us to stuff that pain. And
yeah.
That's what creates a lot of the world that we live in. You know, that's all the stuff
yes.
we have and the, mm-hmm, and yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Sherry, I think we do have time for one more caller.
All right. Well, very good.
Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Jen. Hi, Sherry. It's Todd calling from Kelowna, British Columbia. Good evening.
Good evening, Todd. What's going on?
Well, just a quick Google search. As of 2018, 11% of the world is hungry daily at over 820 million people.
Good God.
That's startling, yeah.
It's horrifying.
Yeah.
It really is horrifying.
It is.
Because when you think about how many of those are children,
yeah.
and what that's like, and of course I think of it from the child's perspective, yes, being hungry, and I mm-hmm. I guess being an adult, you know, I think of it from the parent's perspective too. You know, not to be able to feed your child, to know that your child is hungry and there's nothing you can do about it, just has to be one of the great heartbreaks of all time.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's pretty close to the top of the hour, but I'll just, I'm in a place of being of the bullseye. I've been cruising for a while in a place of not suffering for a bit, and then about a month ago really took on all in with the Africa project, and that's a very open-hearted, loving place that I've put my attention for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And the backlash and the onslaught of self-hatred and egocentric karma and self-hate is something I haven't experienced in a long, long time.
Wow. So you put all of this effort and energy into a very generous perspective of helping
yes.
other people, and
yeah.
ego has come after you because of that.
Right. Wow. In ways that I hadn't seen since early practice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you say more about it, Todd?
Sure, I can. It took me to a place where, 3 or 4 years ago, it took me to such a place of sensations in my body of that panic attack where people go to emergency rooms and think they're dying.
Mm.
That took me to a place when I was actually at the monastery as a visiting monk to quit practice.
Wow.
And I've quit practice for 18 months. I found my way back, thank God. And this week, I'm in the process of doing a second follow-up of over 100 folks that I've reached out to in my network. And I'm in the second process of following up, it's celebrating. I mean, ego-centered competency is coming at me with the 90 non-responses, but not. I have no recognition of the 10. You know, I've almost raised $1,000 so far, which is just phenomenal, really.
Yes.
But of course,
congratulations, Jessica.
I'm just so grateful that I have people that around me that support that which I love. And of course, the 90 non-responses, which is we talked about on the sport calls, is follow-up and letting people have an opportunity to participate. But it's coming at me that it means something about me and it means something about them, about me. And And that's just where I'm at.
And so we're back to Andrea.
Right? Yes, we are.
The conversation, yeah, yes. Because that's that, yeah, it's going to come after you. It's going to try to do that to you. It's going to try to destroy that goodness.
Yes.
And thank goodness you have enough practice under your belt that you're going to be there for him,
yeah,
whatever that system tries to do, right? And the good thing about it, in terms of practice, of course, is that you can see it.
Yes.
Even though I can only guess, it's like a series of knife thrusts in your, well, probably every part of your body, right? In your abdomen, in your heart, in your whatever,
oh,
in your
God.
Back.
The sensations are phenomenal.
That it's really, really painful to live with those sensations. And you're able to watch it, and you know what it is.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
So the first time around, I mean, you could think, all right, I got to stop doing this because I'm going to die.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a heart attack here, and I'm going to die, and that's going to be the end of it. But now you realize that system has some power behind it. It can create sensations in the body that are terrifying, that are horribly painful, and you know what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And thank you for, if you, in your words, browbeating us with recording and listening, because it's been my savior, Sherry. I'm constantly got my earbuds in. I'm constantly making recordings of what is true about what we love, what is authentic, why we do this practice, why we support Africa Project. And without those recordings, I don't know where I'd be. So thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Just for us to frame it correctly, Todd.
Okay.
Without him. Because that's what it comes down to,
okay.
Right? There's the him who is moved by the plight of those people on the other side of the world, and wants to do something for them, and there's the him who is going to take care of that guy and protect him and save him from the abuse that system would heap on him. If there weren't somebody between him and that abuse, and that's the conscious, compassionate awareness that's you.
Right. Thank you for that distinction. Yeah. That's really important. Really important.
We have to remember it. Yeah. Because he's the one who picks up the recorder. He's the one who has the insight. He's the one who remembers. He's the one who makes the choice. He's the one, right? He's the one who shows up. And so.
Yeah. He does. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for the support and
thank you, Todd.
Practice. And I'm just not going to quit. I will not quit.
No.
You can't quit.
You
talked about on the radio show this morning, which is great, just tailor-made, is that you get that little immediate relief. Like, I put the laptop away for a day and stopped working on my emails, and I got a little immediate relief, and it said, look, there, see? You quit.
Uh-huh.
Let's just quit it all, and it'll give you even more relief. And then I had this, great insight of, oh, that's what Sherry was talking about on the radio show. It's only temporary, and it drags us off, as you said, into a cave, and then just destroys us.
So
I didn't fall for the temporary relief. Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Good for you.
Wow, no, thank you for reminding us. I needed that reminder. That's when I heard on the radio show this morning. I said, forget it. I pulled the laptop back out, and I started doing my emails again this afternoon, and I got a donation about an hour ago. It was beautiful. So.
Oh, good.
It really made my night. Okay, thanks, Sherry.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Todd.
Jen. Okay.
Go happy.
Yeah, you too. Go happy. Gesho.
Okay, gotcha.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. Oh, that's incredibly inspiring, Sherry. And, we got to go. But just a quick commercial for those Bridgewalk support calls where Todd and other folks are so generously just walking through their process, and we're all getting so much out of those calls. The next one is a week from tomorrow evening, and all of that's on the website. So,
and Jen, you're right. We do have to go, but it's funny. We're doing this for the folks in Cantalomba, but not really.
Exactly. You know, it's like thank God for the folks in Cantalomba, because look at what we are going through and learning and how we are being transformed in this process. So, thanks to everybody, huh? And thanks to you, Jen.
Thanks to everybody, truly. Oh, thank you, Sherry. Yeah. That was a magnificent show. Thank you so much.
Good.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
Go happy.
Good night.
Good night.
Go happy. Bye-bye.